As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey everyone, welcome to the From the Shadows podcast. I am your host, Shane Grove. It's been a long time, at least three or four episodes worth of us not being around. And sadly, Jason, super producer, is not on the air with us. But the next best thing, the Ozark Howler, is the quasi super producer.
I don't know anything. You can't put me super and me in the same sentence on anything.
I think you're selling yourself short. So we just want to give we want to jump on here for this Friday's episode and give everybody a quick update on how Jason is doing. Jason is still in the hospital. It's been about a 3-week ordeal now. He has to go through some rehabilitation. We do not know when he's going to be back. I have got to talk to him. I'm just going to tell you, he is lucky to be alive. We don't really know everything that has happened to him, but I know it was pretty rough there for a couple days. And but he is he's ready, more than ready, to get out of the hospital and come back and get on the podcast. But we're just happy that he has the prospect of getting out, period, because like I said, it was a little scary. So we don't really have a full episode today for everybody.
Hey, you don't know that. We haven't started talking yet.
Well, you know, we're on time crunch here because our guest is a very important person and there's very important things going on in her life. And she only has so much time to hang out with me and you. But we just wanted to let everybody know that next week we will have of course, there's going to be a midweek howl on Wednesday, and we'll definitely have a regular full-size paranormal episode for everybody to enjoy. And well, as long as me and the howler can keep doing, you know, figuring it out and don't fail miserably. But I'm putting it all on his shoulders, by the way. So we do have a guest joining us to give us a little update on some things going on that may interest all of our listeners. So she wasn't a guest that awful long ago. Heather Mosier from the Small Town Monsters group. Welcome, Heather. And you really are a super producer. So I guess we are kind of in the midst of a super producer. So Heather, you want to tell everybody what's going on, and especially why your boss is so nervous today?
Yeah, so my boss is super nervous today because our Kickstarter has officially launched, and this will fund us for the entire year. So super important that it does really well. and this year our Kickstarter is going to help fund four movies that we're putting out. One is On the Trail of UFOs, Night Visitors. Then we have American Werewolves, which you may know something about.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and then we have The Curse of the Jersey Devil, and then we also have, finally to round out the year, On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Last Frontier, and we will be heading to Alaska for that one.
Before I just lavish lots of praise and love on one of these particular projects, can you kind of explain to our listeners why it's so important? Like, why? Because I mean, I think everybody has a perception of, oh man, you guys make movies, Seth makes all these movies, the money's just pouring in. And kind of, me and Howler know from being in the movie business a little bit, the money just doesn't pour in. So explain to everybody why it's important to kind of get a group effort in funding some of these projects.
Yeah. So the money that we get through the Kickstarter pretty much gets us through the year, and the money goes toward, in this case, it'd be like post-production for Night Visitors, because we did film that last September into October. So wrapping that up, it's helping us fund the travel for filming the upcoming projects. It's helping us pay our bills and keep the lights on in the office. just making it so we can continue to do this, because there's always costs associated with it. And for us to continue to make things at the level that we are making them, and then putting out content as often as we are, that does require not only time, but also money. And without that, we are kind of stuck. So,
I see from the podcast aspect of, everybody loves the content. They want to listen to stuff. They want to see stuff. And you know, the stuff you guys do is top notch. It's so well produced. But man, nobody wants to hear a commercial during a podcast. They just think it's terrible. And it's like, well, how do you think this stuff gets paid for? You know? Like for us, we have not even, I mean, we're getting close to that where, you know, people are wanting us to promote their stuff, and it would be really nice after a couple of years, you know, to be able to recoup some costs, because we love doing it. And I mean, and you guys do some great stuff, and I don't want to throw Amazon or wherever under the bus, but let's face it, you just don't get paid a lot for streaming.
No, and that continues to get cut for us as well. For a lot of independent creators, they continue to cut it each year. So that's definitely not where we get our money for the most part. And I think there's a lot as well when people see the finished product. I mean, it's beautiful. It's well done. We've put a lot of work and effort into it. But what you don't see is the months and the dozens of people involved in creating it. From the smallest details that you may not even put any thought into. I mean, you have a sound person, you have someone who does special effects, you have the artists, multiple artists, and that's just for the look and the sound of the film. That's not the production of it, the beginning part of it. So, and then of course we have Seth in there who's editing and things like that, you know, like he's got to eat too.
Knowing him, it doesn't look like he gets to eat very often, the poor guy. I mean,
he actually doesn't eat that often. But so what we do for Kickstarter is that we have the various levels. And I mean, there's different levels with different price points, of course, starting at like a digital level where you back, and then you'll have access to the films prior to their release. We always have them finished before they're actually released to the world, so you would have access to that before then. There's levels building up from there. So this year, some of our rewards include a Small Town Monsters t-shirt, which is typical for this year, but we have a really cool design this year that kind of encompasses all of the movies that we're having. We have a hoodie, which I'm personally stoked about because I've always wanted an STM hoodie. And then there's a statue level, which Jean St. Jean always does our statues for us. And this year it's going to be the Jersey Devil. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And the top levels, the ones that really push us to meeting our goal, are our executive producer levels. And we have three options for that. There's either the UFO and Bigfoot executive producer level, which gets all the previous reward levels. And then you get your name listed as an executive producer in the opening and closing credits for both UFOs and Bigfoot. And then an IMDb credit as an executive producer. Or there's the Devils and Werewolves executive producer level. So it's the same thing, but with Jersey Devil and Werewolves. Or there's this full-scale executive producer, which covers all four of those. Those are the biggest price points on our Kickstarter, but also the, you know, huge for us to meet our goal. And they are very limited. There's only, I think there's 8 per level, and then 10 for the full scale executive producer level, if I'm not mistaken.
And that also, like, people, you know, when you sit down and you watch a movie and you see all these associate producer, associate executive, yeah. And it seems like, man, how many people are? Well, it takes a lot of money to make it,
yes.
to make a film, especially from beginning to end, and to put out a product that, you know, you can be proud of. So
And those executive producers also get to work with us with creative ideas. There's board meetings and stuff that they get to be a part of as well. So, but yeah, it takes a lot more than I think anybody can really realize unless they're in it or a part of it.
Absolutely.
That's what I think that the average person doesn't realize. That, you know, I know a lot of guys that, you know, they build spec homes and they understand that business, or they might be in the, you know, I got my brother and nephew are in the custom car business. Sometimes it takes them months and tens of thousands of dollars to put a car together to try to sell.
Right.
But then when you talk to them about creating video content, they're like, yeah, well, you just record on your phone and post it. You know what I mean? That completely escapes them. And the other thing is the time element, because there's such a lag. You know, there's a saying in business, if it takes you 2 years to get your money, you didn't make any money. And a lot of, especially good content, takes a year or two to make, right? Or more than that, if you go into the planning stages of it. And the average person doesn't realize the money it costs, and that it somebody's got to pay or somebody's got to come up with.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, as far as looking to the future, I mean, we've already had meetings about what's coming in 2023 that we want to go. So we're already, I mean, we're looking several projects ahead here. You're right. You do have to start.
I'm waiting for the planning meeting on something in 2023 that explores the tie-in between Bigfoot and the underground abandoned mines around Akron, Ohio. I mean, I'm not pushing my agenda.
You're not pushing it, but that sounds that sounds like fun to me.
I would be all in on. I would be in on, you know, that one for sure, for sure. But so everybody might be thinking, well, you know, okay, why are you on the show talking about this? Because we want to talk about one specific not that we don't love all of them, but we do want to talk about the one specific project that, I mean, if all our fans think I can only give $5 or $10, you know, whatever. If there's one project you guys want to help out, I think the American Werewolves is probably a really great project to get behind. Don't you? Man,
I think it would be fantastic. And so far, we're not finished with it. We've got 2/3 of it done. And so far, it is amazing.
Let's be honest.
Interviews done.
Let's be honest. The best 2/3 are probably already done. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, probably. I mean, it's tough to beat some of the stuff we've got. So,
but I, you know, besides shamelessly plugging the judge, the judge and I on camera and, yeah. You know, hanging out in Ohio with you guys, I do want to ask, I saw, and this was a subject that we've talked with some Dogmen people on the show before, but I know that you guys went to the Land Between the Lakes.
You did.
And so I don't want to get, you know, obviously you don't want to give away what you guys did on the show, but what did you come away from personally, like a feeling of what may have happened down there? And the Howler, he is a complete skeptic. So when we start talking cryptids, Dogman, and Bigfoot, he's like, but this is a story that involves law enforcement officers being basically their testimony is the only reason anybody even knows this event took place.
Well, so here's one thing that I learned about Land Between the Lakes is that there's a ton of sightings down there, not just the famous one from the 80s where the family was supposedly murdered, which may or may not be true. There's a lot happening down there, and law enforcement has been involved in various aspects of it. One thing I don't think gets covered a lot is the vastness of Land Between the Lakes. I don't know if it's mostly, it just seems like it's a regular, like a park or something, but this, it's now, huge. You're talking, it's land, a huge swath
between
of
lakes,
land.
Which Land Between the Lakes are you talking about? Down in Kentucky and Tennessee?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I mean, so now you're, my mom lives about 75 miles from there.
Oh, so. Okay.
Awesome. See, all right,
yeah, see, go. So where we were, we stayed in a little town called Murray, Kentucky, and we actually weren't far away from Adams, where the Bell Witch is, which was kind of cool. But the Land Between the Lakes National Recreation Area was, it's dense, it's huge, it goes down into Tennessee as well. I think it 170,000 acres or something, I believe, is the number.
171,280.
There you go. See a lot.
688 and, square kilometers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's just a little bit. It's out. A little bit bigger than the farm. But go ahead.
Yeah, a little bit. They it was a place where people lived and inhabited until things got shut down, I believe, by the Tennessee Valley Authority, when they were trying to control flooding and bring electricity to the area. So there's still a lot of sensitivity to locals that were forced to move. I mean, eminent domain was invoked, and then they had to be pushed out. But it's, you can see remnants of where things were. I mean, some stuff is underwater now under the lakes, but you can still see house foundations. There are 217, I believe, documented cemeteries that are in the area you can go and visit. We did visit one of those. But it's just such a vast area that, I mean, some of the numbers that were thrown at us from the people that we interviewed puts the number of what they would estimate the number of dogmen in that area up ridiculously high. And something that I wouldn't want to mess with. But they also have Bigfoot encounters in Land Between the Lakes as well, so it has a lot of weirdness going on. It sounds
now like. Is that because of the do they opine that it's the desolation? It's just in the middle of nowhere. It's so big. There was a lot of Civil War activity. I mean, yes. In theory, there would be ghosts on top of ghosts down there, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, why there of all places?
Yeah, it could be that. Could be the fact that it is so isolated would make it easier for something to hide and not be seen, for one. But also there's something that continues to come up in a lot of our interviews that have to do with like burial places.
Mm-hmm. I was just gonna say that exactly.
Yeah, and that seems to be a theme that has come about multiple times now. We went to Land Between the Lakes, but not everyone that we interviewed down in Kentucky the Kentucky Tennessee area had sightings necessarily in Land Between the Lakes. There were a few, but it's just in general, there's a pattern that we're starting to see, which we'll explore in more depth, obviously, in the movie. But it's no secret that people know the judge's story. There are certain elements that come into play for multiple other encounters as well that were very similar to what the judge experienced.
Yeah. And that's as soon as you said about the cemeteries and the whole, you know, thing, you know, stuff that we know or were told from Linda Gottfried and started tying all the stuff together with the supernatural aspect of it. It just, yep. That totally makes sense. And, we just talked about this on another podcast the judge and I were a guest on, about just because something is supernatural doesn't mean that we don't experience it in a somewhat physical sort of, manifestation to us. You know, not every ghost comes to you as a bunch of smoke and, or a dark shadow, I mean, there has to be some physical aspect to it if people claim a ghost can shut a door or move something or knock on the wall. So maybe these things are being experienced as a physical entity by people, even though they may not reside in this realm as a physical entity all the time. You know right. What I'm saying? So,
yeah. I agree.
So I'm super excited because I the first couple times I heard the stuff about the Land Between the Lakes, I was like, how does this not a more well-known story? And and so I'm excited that you guys got down there and got to get into it a little bit, because I know you guys will, do a great job of
thank you.
Of exploring that and bringing us some answers. So
when do you think you're going to have it finished, or when's it come out, or what's your time frame?
Yeah, Seth told me this at once upon a time, and I do not honestly remember right off the top of my head when that's coming out. I think American Werewolves is supposed to come out, but I know it's before Halloween because that's Jersey Devil. Bloodlines, Curse of Jersey Devil is Halloween-ish, and then the last of the year is the Bigfoot. So I don't know. It's sometime between April and Halloween. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact time.
Wow. Wait. Yeah. Let me mark that on the calendar.
Yeah. Hey, I'll let you know when I know more in detail. But
Where's the premiere going to be? I mean, we're having a big red carpet. I mean, that's how we do
you
it.
Know what?
When we make movies, that's how we do it. Does Seth not do it that way? I mean, come on.
Not exactly, but I'll have a talk with him. But I am getting messages from him right now, so I need to switch over to Kickstarter.
Okay. Well, hey, we'll let you go. And
I can't wait. You know what? I'm going to get on there and give some money tonight. So hopefully everybody else will.
Oh, all right. So,
thank you.
There you go.
So quickly tell everybody where they can go, and then we'll let you go, and then me and the Howler will finish up the episode.
Awesome. So go on over to Kickstarter. Actually, the link doesn't go live for another 20 minutes, so I can't give you the exact link, but it should just look up Small Town Monsters on Kickstarter, and you will see it has to do with Night Visitors, On the Trail of UFOs, Night Visitors, American Werewolves, The Curse of the Jersey Devil, Bloodlines, The Curse of Jersey Devil,
I'll tell you what we'll do is tomorrow is when this episode comes out, we'll share the stuff that you put up for that on our After the Shadows and the From the Shadows pages. And make sure everybody can visit that and then go and give some money.
Great. Give some money. Thank you so much.
Hey, and tell Seth, it's okay to relax. It'll all be fine. It'll all be fine. Okay.
All right.
And whatever spare change I find on the mail route for the rest of the summer, I'll save for him.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye. So what do you think about that, Howard? That sounds like a pretty good. I mean, so you know the area that the land between the lakes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Heck yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's that was a fascinating. And for the people that are listening that don't know, we had on, God, it's been a while ago, Jody Cook, who's the head, who runs the North American Dogman Project. And the story about Land Between the Lakes is there was a campground down there that supposedly a camper with a family in it was found torn to shreds, murdered. And it was ugly. It was real ugly. And I think the girl from that was found up in a tree a little ways away from the camper. And it was the only way people even heard that were people started, you know, they heard the story and they'd go down and investigate. And there was two or three state police and maybe a couple sheriffs that went on the record and gave affidavits saying, telling the story about what they saw when they came upon the crime scene. So that's the stuff that, why we know about that, supposedly, okay? Hopefully, the Small Town Monsters people will get us even more answers about that. Because they do great stuff. You can find a ton of documentaries about... that they have on Amazon, and they have a great YouTube channel with just tons and tons of content. If you like folklore and a lot of cool stuff about ghosts and Bigfoot and stuff like that.
Well, like I said earlier, if there was going to be a ghost, it would be down there, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of the best ghost stories and evidence of takes place around Civil War battlefields like Gettysburg.
I watched the thing on that the night before last. That's right.
The stories that, like where you can hear the gunfire still, and you can, you know, I've heard people have been on the show talked about seeing soldiers marching by them.
51,000 in 3 days, which is what we lost in the Vietnam War in 10 years. They lost in 3 days.
Wow. I can't even imagine that.
Which is about a fourth of what the Battle of the Somme lost in a day.
Wow.
So
before we end the episode, is there anything we want to talk about quick? Give the listeners, is there something on your mind?
I'll tell you what the prevalent ghosts are here, where I'm at right now.
What's that?
Is the snowplow drivers. They apparently are no longer around. You know, when you were kids, they were around, right?
Yes.
The only thing we have now are the ghosts of them, are the memories, if you will, if you're old enough to remember a snowplow driver. They are non-existent. This little skiff of 8 or 9 inches of snow we had has paralyzed where I'm at down here in the Ozarks, like, I don't know what.
Yeah, it was ugly here today in Ohio. And, you know, for our listeners all over, you know, we're complaining about some snow. You know, I'm sure we have listeners that have snow a lot more, a lot worse than we do, and more and longer periods of the year. But that doesn't mean I have to like it, just because it doesn't happen as frequently. I got the mail truck stuck pretty good today. Pretty good today in a residential neighborhood. I got it stuck, and they had to come out and pull me out. I mean, this is terrible.
Can you even call those little things trucks?
Well, that's the nice way to describe them, because they're not, they're terrible. Not that I know anything about cars. I mean, I think that's well established. But the front tires are narrower than the back tires. So as you drive, you know, usually when you're driving a regular vehicle, you're creating, you know, your back tires are going in the same path the front tires created, therefore making it easier to travel. That's not the case with those mail trucks. It's just awful, and there's no weight to them. So it's So whoever designed those, and I think it was Grumman from the arm. Is that the arm? They created stuff for the
army people did made the postal jeeps.
Yeah. Those are the people that created them. So obviously it just shows one part of the government did something for another part of the government. And it didn't work out.
Well, you know, as my old boss, there's a lot of personalities involved. A lot of people have exposure on that. So what you think, how you think the finished product should look might not be the way they intended it to. So you just have to go with it, right?
Yeah.
I drove up. I didn't go anywhere yesterday. 2 days ago when they said it's going to snow, I went up and got 5 gallons of premium non-ethanol gas and some STP fuel treatment. And I loaded my snowblower up because I did some time in Minnesota. I have a real snowblower. I filled up my snowblower, started up and let it idle, dumped the rest of my 5 gallons in my tractor and started it and let it run. And then today when I went out there to clean the driveway, neither of them would start. So you still there?
Oh, I'm listening.
So I had to take my jump box out there, try to jump my tractor. It didn't want to work. I had to unhook my battery, bring it in, put it on the charger, bring it out there. And it's just, you know, it's a 1950 Ford 8 in, and it just is not, it's just, I don't think. So I just give up. My son wanted to go up to a friend of his house to sled ride, and I was able to make it up my, you know, I live down at the bottom of a hill, so I got kind of a treacherous go. You know, I live down in the woods to keep the salesman and the visitors away. But I was able to get out, and when I got to the blacktop, and when I say blacktop, I'm less than 2 miles from the highway shed, the state highway shed, at whatever time it was, 9 o'clock this morning, and there hadn't been a thing down the road whatsoever. So I fought my way through town and got my kid over to his kids. Now that kid came up and met me because they were afraid that their driveway wasn't that good. So they got on a side by side, you know, this 12-year-old on a side by side met me at the top of the hill to pick up my 12-year-old. And, so then this afternoon when I went to pick him up, I called my brother, and my brother told me that the state of Missouri has 650 snowplow drop. I guess they hire a lot of temporaries, or they have a list to hire, you know what I mean? And they're 650 short of what they like to be. Now, I can't imagine them having 650 trucks, but I guess I don't think on a giant scale. But they're short of drivers.
Really?
Huh. And you know what I told him? I had saw a job posting not too long ago for a job that had absolutely nothing to do. It was a management job, and one of the things is you had to either have a Class A CDL or get one within 6 months, and you had to stand in as an emergency snowplow driver. And I told my brother, I thought I was going, why would they, you know, why would they force these professionals to do that? And that's why. And of course, then he told me that they pay the handsome sum of $15.58 an hour, and I realized why they don't have any drivers.
Hey, Amazon's paying more than that.
So. Well, my son's sacking groceries pays more than that. So I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Maybe that's why my neighbor had the big old. I check my mail 2 or 3 times on a day like today, even though they didn't deliver it at all, because I'm ready for the snow plow. I don't think the plow necessarily hits it, but some of these guys go so fast that, like here,
the snow
when I say snow plow, like when I was up on the parkway here where I live, they weren't pushing it with a snowplow. They had a big, and I don't know my newer John Deere tractors, but they had a giant John Deere cab tractor with a, you know, front end assist, what we used to call four wheel drive. Now they call front end assist, and a big old, probably 14, you know, almost like you'd use to push silage. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was like a 12 or 14 foot blade on the front, and then a 10 or 12 on the back. And he was driving down the road. And of course, my son, who's a tractor kid, he says, Farming Simulator, you know, Supreme. He says, well, he needs tracks. You know, and I said, I don't think they can drive fast enough with tracks. But this dude, so I was getting my mail. I was checking my empty mailbox this morning, and maybe it was last night. I'm trying to remember how. But my neighbor's mailbox was already knocked over. And you'd have to see where it is in the slope. And I actually, since I was out of my truck there, I walked over and got it and set it next to the post. So it doesn't get, you know, it didn't go away, because if they keep pushing the snow up, she's going to be out of mailbox, or he, I don't even really know which neighbor it was, but I mean, cause there's four or five houses and I don't know whose box is whose. So.
I know it's like that on my mail route. There's some people I don't even like every time the snowplow goes by, their mailbox is toast. And I'm just like, I would be tired of it. You know, every time, never fails, never fails. So I guess the moral of the story is, no matter where you're at tonight, today, whatever, when you're listening to this, somebody's always got worse, right?
That's right. They always do.
All right. Well,
I'm going to go to that Kickstarter and give them a 20. Why not, right?
Yeah. So, you know, everybody go check out. We'll put it up on our After the Shadows page, or From the Shadows page. We'll put it up on our Instagram. Go check out the Small Town Monsters people. If you can afford to give them some love, give them some love, because these are great documentaries that these guys are doing. And then you can go watch the ones, give them $10, and then go watch them, the ones they have up on Amazon, and they can earn another like 7 cents. Sorry.
That's terrible. Bezos needs the money to pay for that bridge that he had to take down in the Netherlands to get his yacht out. Didn't you see that?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah, they were taking down an 81-year-old bridge, and he was footing the bill because the yacht that they were building, whatever boat yard that is, it was too big to get out. So I'm assuming they had that deal cut before they built the yacht, otherwise they're idiots. I was just thinking, dude, you don't know how, you know what I'm saying? You knowingly built this yacht so big that you couldn't get it out of the deal, couldn't get out of the, you know.
Listen, let's be honest. I don't think he really cares about anything.
Hey. Have you, not to switch the subject, I know you're ready to go, and I'm going to go off on Kenny, but if you ever make it to Kennebunkport, Maine,
yeah,
okay, not only should you go up and pay homage to President Bush's compound, but you're going to cross this little rinky-dink ditch full of water that looks about, I don't even know how far across, 50 foot, 75 foot, right?
Yeah.
And on the east side is like a little inlet, almost looks like a little lake, like a 50 or 100 acre lake, and I think it's the Kennebunkport River. But anyway, when you get out and you start looking at, they have, that was a shipyard, and they took some absolute giant
out that little body, out that little,
through that little inlet. Now it's got a highway bridge across it now, you know, but they have pictures like blown up sitting there that you can look at and see what it was before. And they took absolute giant ships through that thing. And it was, you know, I guess these boats, of course, I guess the 30 or 40 foot wide boat's a pretty big boat, right? So, you know, the 10 or 15 foot on each side to get to the ocean.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that's what made me think about it. I thought, dudes in Kennebunkport built some giant boats in the turn of the century, obviously, but they knew their limitations on the getting them out, or they kept the city from building a freaking bridge by their state. But Mr. Bezos and the Netherlands people, you know, now they got to take down this historic 81-year-old bridge.
Man, maybe but you know what? Over there, an 80-something, 81 years old really can't be that historic, right? I mean.
Well, what made me think about it, I just got done watching A Bridge Too Far, you know, and I'm not sure it wasn't one that the 8th or 30th Army or whoever, you know, they were trying to, if you're familiar with the Bridge Too Far story, you know, we had soldiers die to protect those bridges and stuff. Certainly the British and the Dutch Dutch forces did. And I don't know, maybe that's what was so significant about it.
True. Maybe. I don't know.
But I'll tell you one thing. If Bezos was running the war, maybe it'd be done faster, right? Because you can be a bridge too far or a bridge too big. He don't care. They take it down anyway. Right?
Well, on that note,
I'm going to call him General Bezos.
Okay. Well, on that note, he does. I think he might have a little Napoleon complex in him. I don't know. But on that note, before we sign off, I do want to remind everybody, if you do have a paranormal story you want to share, make sure you get a hold of us on After the Shadows or From the Shadows on Facebook. Find me on Instagram, Shane Grove Author. Find our Instagram page, From the Shadows, or go to fromtheshadows.com, hit the contact button, and get a hold of us and tell me your story, and I'll get a hold of you, and maybe we can have you on an upcoming episode, because we're going to get the paranormal stuff rolling here again pretty soon. And Howler, before we sign off, I do want to thank any of our fans that went out last weekend, and I know some of our fans did, and downloaded, bought, streamed, whatever, the Eddie Montgomery, Tanya Tucker song that I co-wrote, Higher, because that album was a top 10 album last week.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, and I know our fans had something to do with it. You know?
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
I know, because the secret is it doesn't take a whole lot to be in the top 10 anymore, because nobody, you know, whatever. But I appreciate everybody all over the world checking out the song, supporting us, because, I know that our fans had a lot to do with that. So I appreciate it, and keep on streaming it and sharing the album, buy the album, do whatever. We appreciate it. So, thanks for hanging out with me in the Howler. And next week
sound right, it's because I'm doing it, and I'm just getting my sea legs on this whole deal. So I'm trying to mix it and dub it and get it going.
Jason, if you listen, just relax in the hospital. don't be texting me in the Howler and tell us everything we did wrong.
Do they let him keep his phone in the hospital?
He does. He has it, but I don't. But he never answers it. His wife is the one that is always.
Well, that's because he's whatever's in that IV is dripping too much. Right? Maybe that's a new song you can make. IVs and bad dreams or something.
Oh God. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. That's it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.